CliffCentral.com.
Yes. DJ Khaled with Greece. CliffCentral.com on a Friday morning. The weekend is upon us. It is here. You're ready for it, I can tell. Yes, excellent, Smithers. Gareth, have you seen the footage from the press conference where Rudy Giuliani's hair dye is running down his face? It is fantastic. No, I haven't, but I do believe that there was some kind of press conference yesterday with Rudy Giuliani and this woman, Powell. Sydney Powell, she's Donald Trump's lawyer, and apparently this is where they were going to drop the bomb and tell everybody what evidence they had, and I don't know how that went because I honestly couldn't sit through it. It was just too tedious. So I don't even have an update for you. I'm the least informed person today, and I'm not going to talk about the U.S. election results. We haven't almost all week, and I think that's just because there's zero clarity. You know, it's just a bit of a shit show at the moment, so I'm going to stay away from it. That's how I'm feeling. Don't know if you feel the same way.
Yeah, I'm totally over it. It just needs to all come to a conclusion now, honestly.
Yeah, stop dragging your feet, United States of America. All right. There are things going on in the world. What's happening on your side, Leanne Moll? And what have you got for us, Sangweni?
Well, I'm quite excited to know that TikTok has served a really good purpose. Because, you know, we know it's just quite a bit of rubbish.
Your microphone is on your titties again. Sorry. Yeah, there we go.
It's actually not. It's in the air.
Oh, well, I don't know. It sounded like it was rubbing very hard against something quite enormous.
It's closer to my chin than it is to my titties. That's for sure. Because, yeah, that line is receding as well.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry about
that. Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah. So, on TikTok now, that there are a couple of people who are putting together these videos which serve as fake phone calls. So let's say you are getting into your Uber or whatever, your share ride or whatever. You can go onto TikTok and you need to obviously have these videos favorited. And you go in and it gives you, it's a video of a person speaking to you. And it sounds like you're on a call with someone. Okay. So you put it onto speaker and let's say it's a guy who's pretending to be your dad. And he'll say, "Hi, what's happening? Where are you?" And then he keeps quiet in the video and the words come up for you to say, like, "Oh, hi dad, just to let you know that I'm in my Uber right now. We've just left here and this is where I'm going to be." And he'll be like, "Okay, I'm going to be standing outside waiting for you when you get back."
Okay.
Or for instance, if you feel like you're being followed by someone, you can put again a video onto your screen and it'll be like your friend saying, "Hey, what's up? Where are you?" And then you'll say, "I'm walking along whatever street and I think I'm being followed." And okay, they'll be, "Okay, I'm going to send out an alert for you," or something like that. Or if you're on a bad date, for instance, it could be your mom saying, if you're really young, because if it was my mom, it would be ridiculous. But it could be your mom saying,
"I mean, just say where was your mom all those years ago when you were on a bad date?" She wasn't interested then, so why would she suddenly help you now?
And it could be your mom saying, "You need to come home immediately. I'm not happy that you've gone out without telling me, etc." So, yeah, I just thought that it was quite good. And
wow. Are you trying to tell me TikTok is being responsible and helping people to be responsible?
Well, let's not say it's TikTok. Let's say it's TikTok users. But it's the first like really good news story out of TikTok that I've come across, that's for sure.
I've never had the app. I refuse to, but I've sometimes seen, because people send you links to some of the funny stuff. And there is some good stuff going on there from a content creation point of view. I just would love to see what will happen if, you know, we have some kind of internet fallout all over the world. And all those people who rely on things like TikTok for a living or for their connection to the real world, I wonder what will happen to them. Because you'll have massive, massive problems for some people.
I think people are very good at migrating and finding another way of getting around things.
But if the internet went down, Leanne, I wonder how many people would lose their sense of purpose. Like from a mental health point of view, like if there wasn't the internet, you know how many people who just dream of and live for likes every day, what those people would do with their time, how they'd get their sense of purpose and meaning out of the day.
And money.
And money, frankly.
Especially on YouTube.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right.
Look, on the idea itself, the video idea, it's a little screwed up that we live in a society like that where we have to protect ourselves like that. But I know I've had a couple of times where if I'm speaking to one of my sisters or a friend who will sometimes fake a call with me just as they get into an Uber. And I'm like, if only the Uber driver knew that they're speaking to little old me. But, you know, these are some of the things that people have to do just to feel protected.
Yeah. I don't know. There was something, I'm trying to think of what the story was, where somebody was phoning someone and they actually heard like a crime or something happen while they were on the call with that person. It was in the news probably earlier this year, but I can't remember the details. So I'm not even going to try and scratch at that one. But I suppose, you know, if you're feeling unsafe and you're not sure about what's going on around you, what you want to do is just get in contact with people who will be able to report it to the police or come and find you if something goes wrong. So I think that there's any way that they can help, good for them. I'm not a fan of TikTok, but if they can do this and if they can allow this kind of thing to happen, that's great news. And same goes for all the other social media platforms too. Leanne, do you mean this is the first news that the first good news about TikTok? Have you forgotten about cats' lips getting stuck?
I got what? Sometimes my lips get stuck on my teeth. You think it looks weird, but I can't help it. My lips just get stuck on my teeth.
Jesus, that's bad.
I still like Suspicious. No, that doesn't.
I was started singing that song again. Now it suddenly was back in my head, and it was in my head. Yes. Bloody day, that day that you told us about it. Now it's getting
Oh, it sticks with me all day. It's ridiculous.
All right. Carl says, my hair is receding so quickly that if you stand close enough, you can actually hear it going beep, beep, beep in reverse.
Oh. I think rule of thumb, though, whoever you are, if you have receding hair, please don't be those people who puts up a fight when there's no need to anymore.
Yeah,
just let
also,
it go.
Yeah,
embrace also, your baldness. Don't be slicking over two strands of hair.
But also as a heterosexual female, it's never bothered me, ever. And I know what men go through, the anguish and the mental anguish that they go through. But if that can just be a little beacon of hope, it's never bothered me as a woman.
Have you ever been capmatized, Leanne?
Capmatized?
What's that?
A bald man who will send you photos.
Oh, yes.
Wearing a cap. And then it's only later on you realize, oh, wait, no, you're bald. And that always annoys me. It's happened about like twice before where I think, oh, actually, you're bald. Why don't you just embrace it? As opposed to, you know, you're being deceiving by wearing that cap.
Yeah, like if on a dating app or whatever, if I see a guy with a cap, I know he's probably bald. And again, it doesn't bother me, but it bothers me that he's trying to hide it. I feel for him that he's trying to hide it.
Look, if you're going to go bald, as Sia says, just go bald gracefully and embrace it. Just get on with it, because there's nothing worse than someone who's trying to hide it, or they're developing some bizarre hairstyle that tries to show that it's not happening. And oh, that's so sad. I mean, I understand why guys would do it, because if I were going bald, I'd probably do that. I would try to hide it in whatever way I could. But I also look shit with a cap on, so I'd be screwed properly.
And also, you can't go to a wedding with a cap on. You know?
No, you can't. Can't wear a hat everywhere. Can't do it.
Unless you wear a fascinator.
This also, I'm going to wear a fascinator to a wedding. There's also, you know, there's some people who hate their hair. They just don't like their hair. They don't like the color. They don't like the form, the style. They might not like the texture of their hair. So they also hide it under things. And not just guys, girls as well. Oh, yeah. And so I know lots of people who try and hide their hair wherever they can. And
I'm talking 2020 when you have so many options.
Yes, yes. Some people do not like their hair. They are constantly trying to straighten it. They're constantly trying to curl it. They're constantly, I mean, their products. If you look at how many products are in the hair care aisle at the pharmacy or at the, you know, the local shop, look at all those products. They're all there to try and help people make friends with their hair. And some people don't, they just never get to that stage.
Oh, that's a little sad.
Well, it is, but for many of these people, it's also a daily challenge. It's something they don't get over very easily. So you've got to be a little sympathetic, I suppose. All right, what else is happening?
Well, speaking about the lotto and becoming a millionaire overnight, this guy in Indonesia, he makes his living by making coffins, so he's certainly no millionaire. And he was doing his work from home, minding his own business, and he heard this huge crash, and he knew it wasn't ceiling outside, and like a rock-shaped hole. And a rock had fallen through the roof, and he was filming it. It was lying there on the ground. And when he touched it, it was still warm. And that's when he realized it was a meteorite.
Wow. He basically, you know how we talk about something careening out of control and plunging through the atmosphere and smashing into you? Yeah. And we always think that that's like a sure sign that God hates you, right?
Yeah, for sure. But
this guy picked it up. It was still warm. He was like, oh, okay, my coffin business. This is great. And then what happened?
So the meteorite, he went and had it analyzed, and it's estimated to be around 4.5 billion years old.
Oh, geez.
It's classified as a CM12 or M12 carbonaceous chondrite, a rare variety, which is worth $1.85 million per gram.
Wow.
So this news naturally spread very quickly within the scientific community. And a space rock expert in Bali, Jared Collins, was sent out to come and inspect the site. And he was like, okay, this I'm putting you in contact with a US buyer. And wow. He sold it for, what did I say? He sold it for $1.8 million.
That's amazing. Just from literally being chosen as the destination spot for a meteorite. I'm going to go and stand in my garden and just beg for the universe to send a meteorite right to my house. I've never thought I'd think of that as a bonus. But if that's the kind of price it could fetch, yes, bring it on.
So, I mean, so many things could go wrong.
Leanne, did I ever tell you that I feel in my hearts of hearts, my great love is a coffin maker in Bali? You know, the next time someone says a million will never fall into your lap, I'll say, excuse me, did you hear this coffin maker? It literally fell right in front of him.
Oh my gosh. Life-changing stuff, hey?
Heavy going, very heavy going. But I mean, do think there's something about stuff from outer space landing on you that makes you, you know, even the least superstitious person in the world is like, wow, that's a sign from the universe. If ever there was a sign, like some meteor, and then it turns out to be valuable. That's an even bigger sign. This guy's blessed by the gods, you know,
and the fact that it didn't hit him and kill him, because that would have been a different story.
Exactly.
Yeah, to me, it would just remind me how small we are.
Right.
The fact that it really could be something slightly bigger and could have killed him, that's screwed up.
Hey, today I am undertaking part 963,221 of trying to get my firearm license renewed.
Oh. Sorry, we were talking about coffin makers and then you used the term undertaking. I'm like, where is this going?
Yeah, you must see the pile of papers that I've got to hand in at the police today. And this is what everybody who has a gun has to do at the moment, you know, for your renewal to be processed. So it's a pile of papers like this. And you have to do this every 5 years. It sounds to me like a money-making scheme, or at very least, like the government really don't want people to own guns.
So you're going to the police station again today?
I'm so excited. Aren't you?
Oh, boy.
Aren't you jealous of me? How much fun
I'm having? I love our police stations. They're so clean and stress-free.
And the people in there are so friendly and nice.
Shame, but they have to deal with so much shit every day.
Yeah. Have fun with those blue walls and those benches.
I know that that this is something we've kind of moved on from, but people want to talk about it some more. Ruth says, I agree, Sia. The worst thing a man can do is have the Friar Tuck look. Rather shave completely and grow a bookie. Benjamin says, you'll look stupid like Donald Trump if you wear a cap. Caps are not the only headgear. There are lots of nice hats that one can wear. That's what Peter says. Sharon says, my son-in-law shaves his head totally bald because he hates his hair. He hates the fact that it's curly. See? That's what I was talking about. Baldness is actually a blessing, says David. No bad hair days and a fortune saved on hairdressers and shampoo.
Yeah.
Good point.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The meteorite story reminds me of the movie Joe Dirt. I forgot about that. What happened in Joe Dirt? I can't remember. But it was David, what's that actor's name? Anyway, doesn't matter. Let's move on.
Google it, schmoogle it.
Yeah. See if, who's in Joe Dirt? This guy's name, man.
Oh. No, it's not. David Spade.
David Spade, thank you.
Oh, yeah. Love him.
David Spade, Brittany, Daniel, Christopher Walken.
That's it. Very good.
Christopher Walken.
What was that line?
What is that reference? Did I miss it?
Christopher Walken.
It's just the way he speaks.
I want to complain to management.
Do you remember? Do you remember Saturday Night Live used to have a skit where the whole family was Christopher Walkens? And the whole family would communicate like that.
Good shit,
man. Oh, Lord.
All right. What else is going on in the world?
Well, this is just peak sadness, in my opinion. And Japan just continues trying to save their sexless population.
Oh, it's the saddest thing. How can these people want to have sex? You know, what a sad state of affairs. I know that all three of us, Leanne and Sia and I, and maybe even if you're listening to us right now, you're in the position where you're not having children, right? And we haven't had kids, and who knows? That may change. Maybe Sia will have kids. Maybe I'll have kids. Who knows? But we're not exactly prime examples of kind of what we're going to criticize Japan for now. But how can that whole nation not want to have sex?
I don't understand.
They really don't. It's not just babies they don't want. They're not even having sex. They're not even hooking up and having sex. Japanese sex drives are an all-time low, and they like some weird stuff. I mean, they've got those panty dispensers, and they've got those sex clubs where you go in and women are dressed like robots, and, you know, they've got their titties out and everything.
They've got those places that you go to where you can just be hugged, like spooned in bed.
Exactly. You just lie down on like a bed that you rent for the hour, and someone hugs you. That's all. It's kind of pathetic. It's pathetic.
But what's more concerning, particularly in the story that I'll tell now, is it also feels like they are lacking in just general companionship. Because now a university in Japan, Gifu University, has had developers work on a robotic arm that simulates someone holding your hand and walking with you. So it was the origin is a paper titled My Girlfriend in Walk. And that is how they developed this arm that can intertwine with your hand, and then you clip it to your forearm as well. And it will give you the same experience as you walk. So you're moving your arm to and fro, the same sensation as holding onto someone's arm as well.
I saw a video of this. It is the saddest thing ever. So you're basically walking hand in hand with someone else, but it's a robot a robot arm. It's not even a person. It's just the arm.
Oh, my word.
Feel like someone
it will take it a step further as well. Every now and then, it will secrete some light moisture.
No.
So really, it feels like someone's clammy or sweaty palm as well. Hello, have they not heard of holding someone's real hand? Is this how sad society is in Japan, where you have to buy a robotic arm?
That is so odd.
Maybe they look at us with Tinder and Bumble and all of this stuff, and they think, what a bunch of losers.
Yeah.
Maybe
what a bunch of nymphos.
Yeah, maybe they think we're all so sexed up that that's all we get done every day. I mean, listen, Japan is by no means a backward country, right? And Japan has more than contributed to human civilization by its weight. But let's be fair. They could look at us and go, those people, all they do all day is just think about sex. They're constantly having sex. They're constantly looking at porn. They're constantly looking for ways to meet each other and have wild, rampant sex. They must be certainly there must be people in Japan who look down on us for that and think that we're just wasting our time, that we're obsessed.
I don't know. But then on the other hand, excuse the pun, really. On the other hand, you have to commend them on their innovation with something like this. So it's made from some soft material that supposedly feels like real human flesh. And the hand can even go as far as detecting pressure and can squeeze back when it's gripped tightly as well.
Oh, I don't know if I like that.
Great technology. Like I love the fact that they're figuring out these amazing things, and they're able to develop technology to the point where it can almost perfectly resemble an actual living hand. But you know what's going to happen to that in the Western world. It's going to immediately be turned into a vagina. Immediately. A vagina or an asshole or a mouth. Straight away, I can tell you that's what's happening. So the Japanese developed this, look at our great technology. We have got a marvelous piece of technology here. Grip your hand almost like a perfect human hand. And as soon as it hits like America, someone's like, let's make a vagina, or let's make an asshole, or let's make a mouth.
Yep.
That's what they're going to do with it, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Basically. By the way, they can even go. Uh huh.
And Janet's just reminded me, Joe Dirt, which we were talking about a moment ago, the David Spade movie, that was where he found a meteorite. But it actually turned out to be a ball of shit that was dropped from an airplane. That's brilliant. Yes. Great show. And he's this like hick with long hair. And anyway, so Sia, you were going to say about the Japanese and their hand?
Yeah. And wrapping up, they can even go as far as providing you with a rail that you strap this arm onto. If you want the feeling of someone walking ahead of you. So the rail gives you a sensation of someone who is walking ahead and you're following them, or they're leading you.
How terribly sad. But wait, how long do you think it's going to be before someone tries to use it for masturbation purposes?
Well, I mean, fisting comes to mind, you know?
Fisting. Ah! Fisting. Listen, Mbulelo agrees. He says Japan gave us Toyota, South Africa gave us the SABC. Yeah, the one is definitely going to help humanity forge a way forward into the next generation and the next epoch. The other one is going to stay behind in the previous epoch. And I guarantee you the SABC is not taking us forward. That much is absolutely clear. All right. Well, yeah.
Japanese and the inventions. What can we say? All I'm remembering is we covered this while I was still in Durban. So what was that? Before June. And that was, we were already seeing cases of people saying they've fallen in love with Siri. They've fallen in love with Alexa. Mm-hmm. Like this cult-like feeling. So months later, I think that number has only gone up. And I will not be surprised if in a few weeks' time we find out that this arm thing is now a worldwide sensation and is being bought left, right, and center.
Well, I promise you on the life of my dog, I will never be buying a robot hand to keep me company. The day I do that, just come over to my house and just shoot me in the head, because there is that to me would be the absolute depth of despair. Like I'm so lonely that I want a robot hand to hold hands with me. Come on.
See, whether we like it or not, the perk of living in the 21st century is we can do certain things and no one really has to know. If I'm sitting alone, I can just order this hand comes, it's delivered at home. I can just watch a movie on my couch while holding this hand.
It's pathetic. Don't try and normalize it. It's pathetic. It's like those guys who keep sex dolls. I'm sorry, it's not healthy. I'm all for everybody getting their kicks however they like to get their kicks. But the minute you've started giving your sex doll a name and making tea for it and sitting watching TV with your sex doll, the moment you cross that line, then I'm terribly sorry. I can no longer play with you. I can no longer be your friend. I can't. It's just you're too screwed up for me. Now, on this note, I want to hear what you think of this. This is a business idea that someone came up with not so long ago. And I've kind of been thinking about it, and I think there might be merit, but maybe I'm the only one. Do you like a back tickle? Leanne, you're muted. She's gone on mute. I like a back tickle. So
where's this going? I'm so hesitant.
So I'll tell you now. So instead of going to a massage parlor where you would get a massage, you go somewhere and you lie down, and it's all above board. It's all very legitimate. There's none of the stuff that Damon used to do where you go for a happy ending or any of that stuff.
Oh, no.
But you get a back tickle. This is not my idea, by the way. This is someone else's idea that I thought was pretty brilliant. I would go to this place. I'll admit that.
I prefer a back scratch or a massage. I'm not really into back tickles.
But a tickle back scratch, that's what I mean. Like you can.
The tickle's too intimate. I don't want any.
Oh, come on. You know, back scratch. Like, call it a scratch. It doesn't make any difference. It's the same thing.
That's why I have this, you see.
Yes, but that's no good, Leanne. You're doing it to yourself. There's something about getting a back tickle or a back scratch that is, in fact, I would say that it is in the top three reasons that I would ever be in a relationship and why relationships that I'm in. Seriously. There's something about that that is so goddamn nice. I love a back tickle. I fucking love it. Now, I'm not going to get into a relationship just to get a back tickle. But if I could go, like you can go for a Thai massage or a Swedish massage or a hot stone massage. Or you can also say, I'd like to come in for a back tickle today. And then the same woman who does that can, you know, she can use the thing like you've just got there, or she could use her own hands, or she could, like, I don't care what she, there's nothing nicer than a back tickle. Oh my God. I would
sometimes
you charge 200, 250 Rand for an hour of that. And then you're out of there. I'd pay.
Some therapists do combine a bit of back tickling into your massage appointment.
Have you ever had one of those head massages where they kind of, it's not really a massage. It's more of a head tickle. Best thing.
Yeah.
You don't like that. Yeah. You'd pay for that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Telling you, it's a good business idea. So you open it up and you call it the back scratch or whatever. So it doesn't sound like, you know, it's anything dodgy. And it doesn't even have to happen in some private booth, because you're not going to be naked. You can basically just take your shirt over your head. I think it would be fine.
Yeah.
It's a little weird when you think about it, but I also get it. Like, there was a point where we were a little, not to make him sound like a freak, but we were a little concerned about my nephew. He was like 5-6 years old, and he couldn't sleep without a back scratch. We're like, get it together, bro. Like, come on. Now,
that is a good person. That's what most good people want, Sia.
You have a full mouth of teeth. You can formulate sentences. You can't do it. But my sister thought it was normal. He would, you know, have a bath. He would get into his PJs and then walk up to his mother and go, Ma. Then his mom would have to, like, scratch him up until he went to bed. I'm like, that is, you know, we are setting him up to buy dirty panties.
No.
I used to lie in my mom's lap and say, Mommy, please tickle my hair. And there was nothing wrong with her.
No, sure. Come on. Sia, there's nothing wrong with this. Don't make it kinky and weird. It's not weird, okay? So Mandy says, oh my word, my husband loves a back tickle too, and it's so exhausting. I can't anymore with scratching his back for another 25 years. Mandy, you can send him to this place that I'm talking about, and then he can get a tickle there and he wouldn't bother you. You could still, you could still be used for the sex though, Mandy. You know? It's a different thing. I don't, in my head, the back tickle is not the same as the sex. They don't go together, if you know what I mean.
No, it's a professional service, like a massage.
Yeah, here's a point from Carl. Gareth, here's the test. If it was a guy tickling you, would you be up for it?
It's like having a guy masseuse.
Yeah, I don't think it would bother me. I've had massages. I've had a guy massage me once, so I can tell you how that it's pretty much the same. I mean, he might have been a bit stronger or something, but I don't think he was different in any other way. So, yeah, I don't think I'd have an issue with that. Nikita says, my mom used to do it to me as a child, too. It's very therapeutic, back scratch. Ruth says, back scratch sounds very dodgy in the physical act. Who does that during sex? That's just sadist. Well, I know people who scratch during sex, but that's different. That's more like a passion thing.
Yeah.
No, no, no. You get people who are into that. You know, they like a bit of pain. This one friend of mine had a girlfriend who used to, she used to like dig her nails into his back, and it was fucking painful, he said. It was really sore, and he eventually had to ask her to stop.
Oh.
Vusi says, yeah, Gareth, the back tickle is good. It's a great business idea for single people. See? Mr. Schmangel says, what the hell's up with these Japanese? What happened to good old sucking, tugging, licking, and fucking? And by the way, using that robot hand to wank is sick, and it's a bad idea. If that thing malfunctions, you might end up with the grapes. Just the grapes without the damn twig.
Oh. Got that. Okay.
The grape and the twigs. Sia's just figured it out. Nikita says, Sia is so disturbed by this conversation, and he looks very shocked, says Sergio.
Yeah, it's a little.
It's not a little anything. It's fine, Sia. There's nothing wrong with a back scratch. Don't you make me feel bad about this.
No, I'm with you, Gareth. But again, it's like I've been for massages all my life, and sometimes it involves tickling.
Yes. You know, there are people who find a massage just too intimate. They don't like being touched. See, as one of those people. He can't go for, you haven't been for a massage, have you?
I can count on like one hand the number of times I've gone, because I just don't like it. I don't like the sensation. And remember, we even had Skin Sense would come to us and every Monday and want to give us massages. I just don't like the sensation. No, just don't touch me.
No.
Nah.
All right. Very, Sia, who's had a traumatic experience.
Yeah, you're the one with an odd childhood there.
Yeah. Something bad happened to you.
You guys are paid people to scratch your back. Yeah,
show me on the flask where the hurt you.
No. Come on, would you be able to pay for a back scratch with like true dignity? You would have no issue walking up.
I would do that. Absolutely. You would feel bad about it at all. What are you, insane?
God bless you.
There are people who you just telling us the story about a person who walks around with a robot hand, and you're worrying about my dignity.
Okay. No. To each his own.
Damn right, everybody's got their thing. I'm with you, Sia. I don't like massages and stuff like that. That's from Yo-Yo. Yeah, you know what? Everybody does their thing. Just do your thing. Don't give other people shit. If you don't want to use a robot hand like those Japanese people do, then you don't use a robot hand. If you like a little back tickle, you go for that. Don't feel bad. Don't let Sia put you off just because he's a prude. Hey, Jules.
Hi. It's working. Okay, good.
Yeah, it works like a charm. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm in the airport. I'm actually at the lounge. Mm-hmm. So nice to see you guys. Trying to find a little quiet spot.
Where are you off to?
I'm coming up your way. I'm coming up to Joburg. Yeah. No.
So everybody can remember the good old days when we used to go out and actually go to concerts, and so much has changed last few months. Thankfully, things are looking up now. Good Luck, along with some other musicians, are taking to the stage for the first time in ages in what is being called South Africa's first official Pod Party Music Festival. I love this. Yes. So Jules from Good Luck is here with us this morning to talk about it. And I thought we'd get some info from her. First of all, how's Good Luck? How's everybody doing? And how have you guys been through lockdown?
You know, honestly, it's been up and down. I think for, you know, like for most people, you know, we're quite innovative through the beginning stages. As a band, we came up with a TV show, which we started called The Lockdown, which, has been doing great. You were on it. You were a guest on it. Yeah. We did a lot of things that were kind of on our list throughout our careers for the past 5 years, but just busyness kind of prevented us from doing them, like a lot of NGO work and charity work. And, it was good. I think it was a time to reflect and a time to be creative. And then things started to kind of open up again. And, I think it's just been very difficult the last few weeks. I'm not going to lie. Like, you know, we run an event series in place as well. And just the uncertainty and the kind of, It's happening. It's not happening. We're good. We're not good. You know, and the non-communication as artists and as promoters, it's been a really, really difficult landscape to navigate. So, yeah, I think
they keep changing the rules. I mean, you can have this many people, then you can have that many people, then you can't sell liquor, then you can't sell liquor. I mean, from an organizing point of view, it is just all kinds of shit rolled into one.
Exactly.
Though that at least you guys and a few other musicians that I know of too have been keeping yourselves busy and trying to find ways to earn money. But the reality is it's been really, really tough on performing artists because
very tough, yeah.
You guys were busy. I mean, you were being booked every other day just before lockdown happened. And you're one of the most successful bands in the country. You're one of the best. You're one of my favorite bands.
Oh, thank you. Whenever, you're one of my favorite people, so there we go.
Well, whenever I thought about kind of who's been hit hardest by this, obviously I thought of people in travel and tourism, and then I thought about entertainers, and you guys didn't have any other income, right?
No, you know, I think this is the thing to kind of unpack is that the industry, the music industry, has really been the last one, well, the first one in and the last one out of the situation. You know, as soon as we heard that there was a virus and it was this impending doom that was coming, you know, across the borders, it was coming to the country first, of course, the music industry shut down, no events. And we don't have a clear picture as to when we're going to be able to return to full-scale events. And you know, everyone's very cautious, understandably, at the moment. And then you get musicians like us who we obviously have some sort of revenue that comes in from royalties and songwriting, but you get musicians who literally just play the instruments and do gigs and that's how they make their money. So, you know, for them, I think, it's been more difficult, even more difficult than it has been for artists that release original music.
So yeah. who do you want to just give a shout out to in terms of people who've made it easier for you? And which event organizers are back on the field and playing the game now? Because
I mean,
the bravest people.
They're so brave. I mean, these guys that are doing this event this next weekend in Johannesburg, you know, LW Mag, Ryan and the team, you know, people don't understand, well, they need to understand what it is taking right now for an event promoter to be doing any form of event. It is so risky. You are literally doing it for the love and passion of music and the love and passion of giving people a good experience and a good time. I think, you know, promoters in the industry have been as equally hard hit as musicians. Yeah. And the fact that this company are really thinking outside the box, they're trying to make it safe. They're trying to make it an environment where you can still enjoy the experience, enjoy the live music thing without actually having to put yourself at risk. And do these pod parties. I just think it's brilliant. You know, people need to really support this because it's the only way we're going to be able to get back to it.
What is a pod party and how do we join?
Pod party. So basically, the pods are little areas which you can book for yourself and your friends. And they are kind of separated from other people, but you obviously can still see them. You're just not that separated, but you are separated enough that there is social distancing that would apply within those pods. So basically, you can book a pod for your friend, for yourself and your friends. I think it's 2,000 rand for a pod, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's up to 5 people. So it's, let me just have a look here. Yeah, 2,000 rand for a pod. It works up to 500 rand per person for 4 people. So it's really, really, really reasonable when you consider, you know, that they're going to give you this incredible lineup. You're going to also get some complimentary masks. They get some drinks included in that, some Red Bulls. They get some snacks as well. So yeah, it's, I mean, for 500 rand to be able to get a lineup, you know, of this proportion, in this time is, I think, a really good value. So I hope that the whole Joburg is going to come out in full force and support the music and support the organizers.
I went out with a friend of mine for dinner on Tuesday night, and he was telling me that he's trying to put on these events in December, and you know, these are the events that keep his business alive, and the authorities are making it so difficult for him. They're forcing him to do paperwork and massive administration, and then they revoke things like the liquor license, and it ruins all the hard work they've put in. And now you're looking at a business that probably won't survive into next year unless they're able to have these events. And it's just crazy.
No, it's crazy. But I think what also is very important to note, it's not just about like the people at the top, like the musicians and the promoters. The trickle-down effect of that is massive. If you think about just one event and what goes into it, you know, you've got bartenders, you've got cleaning staff, you've got security, and the list goes on. And then there's their families that are infected. So you're talking about hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people in South Africa. And I think that is something just really that government needs to take stock of at some point and go like, is it actually worth it? You know?
Yeah. Well, and listen, I'm just delighted to see you guys are back on the road and doing your thing. And well done. Well done for the show that you launched during lockdown. I think that was really cool. Such a good idea. And the event is taking place at Monte Cassino. It's on the 29th of November. Other musical acts are Majozi, Veranda Panda, Short Straw, PH Fat, Prime Circle. And it's going to be really, really cool. Different. If you're desperate to get out, like most of us are, and you're desperate to see live music again and feel part of society instead of being isolated, because I think many people are just desperate to actually make contact with other human beings, even if it is, it's socially distanced, you know, in socially distanced, and just do this and go along and support. Good luck, if nothing else.
Thank you. We'll be playing on the Sunday, guys. So it's a two-day event, which is really cool. If you can't make the Saturday, come on the Sunday. If you can't make the Sunday, go on the Saturday. You know, you've got options. Right. And I just want to say as well, we were in Joburg last weekend and we played at two events, you know, where COVID regulations were simplified, not pod parties, but everyone was wearing masks and was kind of socially distanced. And it worked. And people had a great time. So don't be scared. Come and enjoy yourself. And it's outdoors. Absolutely. And you'll have a wonderful time.
Fantastic. All right, go along and support them. And if you want to get tickets, it's at quicket.co.za. No under 18s. 500 people per day is the limit. And that's also one of the reasons why they're charging, you know, X amount per pod, because they have to actually make it work. And in order to do that with the limits that have been imposed, it's obviously a consideration. But it sounds like fun. And well done, Jules.
Thank you so much. And well done to you and your team. We love you guys.
Love you too.
Big hugs.
Cool. See you soon.
Bye. Ciao.
Bye. Cool. Good luck. That's such a fun band. It's such a nice, happy vibe.
Cool.
I still haven't been out to a bar or a club or a party, like a proper, you know, like a public party. I've had like house parties and things, but I haven't been out since lockdown, basically. I don't know if I'm missing it, to be perfectly honest.
I feel the same way. I'm happy to go to a vibey restaurant, but that's like the limit.
That's where it starts and stops.
Oh, yeah. I might get back into it, but we'll have to see. And I'm not worried about COVID. You know that. I could care less about that. It's nonsense. But I am worried about the vibe. I don't want to have to wear a mask, and to me, that's not fun. I would like to go to places where they just don't give a shit about those masks. That's where I'd like to go. And if you think that that's dangerous, then I'll tell you what, you stay away. Leave the rest of us to actually be normal.
But there was, you know, they deemed certain things super spreader events. But it's just unfortunate where it happens if you host some sort of an event and there's someone who's positive and then somehow is spreading the virus a lot. There's one couple in the States who was interviewed on the news saying how guilty they feel because they were very responsible in still having their wedding, and they had, you know, X amount of people there, but it just so happened that there was someone who had coronavirus and was it happened that they were spreading it like wildfire at the wedding. So now over the past couple of weeks, they're getting a call like, hey, so-and-so, tested positive.
The super spreader event bullshit is also just made up nonsense. I don't buy it for a second.
Did you guys ever download that app that warns you if you... So I did.
The government app.
Yeah, and I forgot about it for a while.
Yeah.
And then 2 days ago, I got an alert saying on Sunday, I was in close contact with a person who had tested positive. And I just think, how many... And you know what? Straight after that, I went to a family function. So I had to let them know as well. But firstly, how many people have a smartphone in South Africa? Secondly, how many people have downloaded the app? We are in close contact with positive people all the time.
Mm-hmm. Bullshit. I'm telling you, this is complete paranoia. This is like you imagine going out and forcing everybody to wear their AIDS HIV status on their forehead and then just staying away from them, socially distancing, pushing yourself.
Well, you aren't humping everyone.
No, but imagine if that was the case. Imagine if that was the case here, that it was contagious in that way. I mean, it makes everything from a normal human social behavior point of view impossible. It makes it absolutely impossible. And I feel desperately sorry especially for young people who are trying to, you know, you're in your 20s, you want to live a little, you want to meet new people, you want to go out and do fun things. All of that. Now, it's really, really complicated. It's so difficult. And I just don't think it's fair. And I think, what, to save grandma? You know? Sounds to me like a really cruel thing to do to people who are not grandma. You know what I mean? All right. Every time Sia touches his face or holds his face, we have to drink. That's a new drinking game. That's been started from this morning. We're adding it to the rules of the overall drinking.
Hey. Operative term. It's my face. I can do whatever I want to do with it. Okay.
Get all touchy now, Sia. Hey, George Mooney, how are you?
Hey, Gareth. Good and you?
All good. I have no complaints whatsoever. And it is Friday. And I know when we see you, we've got reason to smile because the weekend has properly begun. Why are you wearing a jacket, George? Are you going somewhere smart after this? Because you never dress up for us.
Well, yeah, I'm going to Pretoria for an in-person meeting. So, you know, you've got to dress up for these occasions.
I know. I was invited to an in-person meeting this week. It feels a bit weird.
Mm, it is. So. Good.
George, you could have lied and made us feel special.
You are special, Sia.
You could have said, you know, you could have said something that makes Sia feel like you dressed up for him this morning. But you got your hair did just for Sia. Of course, that's how we all impress Sia. All right, let's go, George. What's going on in the world of cars and motoring and everything?
Well, you were just talking about a new drinking game. Well, you know about the proposed new drunk driving laws that are going to get promulgated, which brings the alcohol in your blood down to zero. If you've got any alcohol in your blood, you get arrested.
Okay.
So now, is this actually going to happen, and when?
Well, yeah, I think it's more than likely going to happen, but I don't think that those are the concerning things that have been thought through. You know, I mean, to like on the one side, 27% of our road deaths involve alcohol. So it's related to alcohol, which is a high percentage. So I'm not in favor of drinking and driving at all. Not even one iota. I don't even have one drink and drive. It's just a rule that I have.
Sure.
George, did you say 27?
27% of road deaths.
I would have expected it to be a little higher.
I thought that was high.
I think that is high. George, no one is going to defend drunk driving. I don't know anyone who wants, the government's too strict on this drunk driving thing. I just think it's very low hanging fruit. You know, what they've got to do is get the systems right. For example, I know that there are people who've been trying to get their driver's license renewed, including me, since the beginning of this year. And it's impossible to do that. So therefore you end up breaking the rules. I know that there are people who, are driving at, let's say it's 100 in an 80 speed zone and they get fined thousands of rands. Now, to me, that's also stupid because actually you're not necessarily putting anyone at risk. You know, speed isn't the thing that kills. It's slowing down really fast.
Well, it's the sudden stop, right?
Exactly. So I think that there's a lot of stuff that goes on here that's about government doing what they think will make them look good and will make them look like they're doing something, but they're not really doing anything because the behavioral change comes in with people. I don't drive drunk either like you. I used to when, you know, we didn't have Uber and things like that. And I took it very seriously. Subsequent to that, I've learned my lessons the hard way. And I think many other young people did at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. These days, you could Uber.
You've got options.
There are options. You don't have to be driving drunk. And I think it's a good idea to not have any amount of alcohol in your system if you're going to drive. But it does kind of complicate things from the point of view of, you know, you go out for a lunch and someone has a beer and you used to be able to get away with a beer or a glass of wine. Now you can't even do that. So I suppose there are going to be people who are going to argue about that stuff.
Well, I think it goes further than that, Gareth, because the AA is arguing that many cough mixtures, medications contain alcohol. So
hot cross buns. Remember, we had that whole debacle. Mm-hmm.
So you know, while it is a good law, and its intent is good. The actual, as you rightly point out, the actual operational execution and policing of that law for the good, becomes challenging because, you know, how do you take medication in the morning that has a small amount of alcohol in it that gets into your blood and then you show positive on a breathalyzer? So has that been thought through is what the AA's argument is.
And Raleigh, who's listening to us now, says, do those stats include drunk pedestrians? And what can we do about drunk pedestrians? That's an excellent point.
Very good question.
On my way back from, the game reserve over the weekend, I saw a lot of really, really drunk people staggering across highways and things like that. And if you're driving along at 120, there's not much you can do. If someone comes out of nowhere onto a highway and they're drunk as hell, you're going to get the blame as the driver, obviously. But drunk pedestrians seem to be as big a deal as drunk drivers.
Yeah, pedestrians are a big part of our road death toll.
Yeah.
People that are on the road and get hit by cars. So I think it's an equally serious problem. It's the execution and the policing of rules that's where the problem starts.
Well, according to Carl, anyway, the zero tolerance rule is stupid because he says it's not people under the current limit who are causing accidents. It's the people who are over the limit, and those people are not going to stop. It's a policing problem, not a policy problem. Another good point.
Exactly. So moving off from drunk people, batteries, you know, in electric cars. I mean, you know, we put out the study the other day that you can go download on reports.autotrader. We put out the study that shows that almost 70% of South African consumers have a high appetite to buy an electric vehicle within the next 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. And particularly people with the means to do it. You know, people over the age of 30 to 55. Those are the people who, you know, probably have the most means to buy these expensive electric cars. Sure. So the batteries inside electric cars, you've heard about the fires that have happened over the last, 2-3 years. Hyundai in South Korea is being sued as they recall over 70,000 EVs as a result of this risk. So the owner of a Hyundai Kona, who doesn't want to be named, he just wants to be named as Kim, is among 200 other people who have a class action lawsuit against Hyundai seeking compensation for reduced values of their EVs. And this is as a result of a recall of 70,000 of these EVs.
Sure.
every vehicle's got their problems. I mean, there's no foolproof way. It's a constant. I always get into a car and I just marvel. And, you know, I've driven a lot of different cars this year because I've decided I don't want to own a car. And, you know, Phil, who's been on the show before, he's been giving me different cars from his dealership to drive. And I just marvel at the way every time they bring out a new model of anything, it just is so much more advanced than the previous one by leaps and bounds. Because the amount of technological development that has taken place between the last one and the current one, and the amount of thought and the safety considerations and the opportunities to improve and all of that stuff is just absolutely incredible. If I drove the car that I was driving at Varsity now, I would feel like I was in a wheelbarrow with a lawnmower engine.
I had one of those Golf Ones.
Yeah, City Golf. I had a City Golf.
And those cars had no crumple zones, proper crumple zones, didn't have airbags.
Nothing.
It weren't retractable. You're absolutely right. And I mean, while the 70,000 recall and this lawsuit is going on, the fact that Hyundai actually recalled 70,000 vehicles means that they're taking an issue seriously.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone to now use this as an excuse, just like they did with the self-driving cars, that there's one vehicle left that have been testing self-driving cars for, you know, a year and a half, 2 years now, and they've had only one incident. And then suddenly everyone's like, oh, well, you see, self-driving cars are dangerous. Now they'll say about electric vehicles, oh, because of this recall, it's bad. You know, there are activists who will use this as an excuse to try and retard the development of these cars.
Well, I mean, you look at the Ford Kuga. I don't know if you remember the fires in the Ford Kuga.
Yes.
And that where you'd hear that someone is just minding their own business.
Themselves, who was in the front seat, you know, some divorcee who hangs out with Billy the Bums, that Kuga.
Well, you know, if you really kind of do, if you go and do the maths, you more than likely see that the number of vehicles that actually caught on fire were a drop in the ocean compared to the number of vehicles out on the road. And then Ford did something about it, you know, and Hyundai is doing exactly the same thing. So I think your point is absolutely right. You can't go and, you know, if there's one issue doesn't mean there's 70,000 issues, but the OEM is making the recall just in case.
Yeah. Okay. You
know, there's 70,000 issues. Anyway, onto a lighter note. A UK number plate 010 has sold for 2.5 million rand.
I've never understood this.
Well, when reading into this particular topic, I didn't know this until now, but UK number plates, unlike America and South Africa, doesn't attach itself to the car. It attaches itself to the human. So you go with your number plate through your lifetime. You carry the same number plate.
Okay.
And this particular number plate has been in this family for 118 years.
Sure.
Jeez.
118 years. But, you know, in digging a little bit further, this is quite a big market. In the UK, it is a 40 billion rand market, this number plate speculation, where the number plate 25O, sold in 2014 for 10 million rand.
Why would you want it? Like, I don't understand this. Who needs to have a personalized number plate so badly that they're going to pay millions of rands for it? Who? Who are these sad people? This is like the Japanese with the fucking hand that they're walking around with so they can feel that they won't be alone. If you are paying anything more than the standard going price, whatever it is for a number plate.
150 rand.
Okay, then you just really, you've got major self-confidence issues. I'm going to just say it. I've never met anyone with a personalized number plate, unless it was funny, that didn't have self-confidence issues. Because who are you advertising to? Strangers? You want people on the road to be jealous of you because you got such a personalized plate? Well, I've got bad news. Nobody's jealous of you for your number plate. No one on earth has gone, oh, you know, I lived my life and I had a really good life, but the one thing I was missing was that personalized number plate. Said no.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I tend to agree with you. I don't see the point of personalized number plates, but it is a market for some reason. In the UK, the number plate F1, F in the number one, sold in 2004, 9 million rand, is expected to fetch 20 million rand currently. And the current owner is asking 204 million rand. Now, you can buy an actual McLaren for that price.
But this is it. So what? So people are going to be driving behind you at the speed limit with your F1 number plate. And what are they going to be saying? Wow, that guy's a huge F1 fan. Deal, dummy. Really? What the hell is that?
Well, Gareth, I don't want to upset your Friday. So here's a lighter story. a Volvo has dropped 10 new cars from a crane.
Why?
On 30 meters on purpose. And, but if you hear the reason why, you'll understand. So, quite often, rescue services like life saving, you know, Jaws of Life and guys that try and cut you out of cars, they don't get the opportunity very often in a real life circumstance, to apply their skill or to train. So what Volvo did was they decided to take 10 new cars, drop them from 30 meters, and then give as a training exercise for the life-saving teams so that they could learn how to get into those cars once the cars had crashed.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a thing to have to do, though, dropping cars from a crane.
Good donation, Matt. Good PR stunt for them.
Very good PR stunt. But I mean, everybody's heard of the golden hour. You know, if they don't get to you within 1 hour, your chance of survival drop dramatically. So it was different makes and models that were dropped from 30 meters, and the emergency services got a chance to try and access those cars.
Sure. George, just on your topic of when we were, you know, driving those cars that we drove years ago, and we didn't think about safety or technology or any of that stuff. You still had the wind-up windows. And
my car had a choker.
So yeah, you say a choke, yeah. And sometimes you didn't even have the window wouldn't go up and down. and people used to put those dashboard protecting screens in the window, you know, the front window.
Yes. So,
So Tracy says, I had a Corsa light. It was literally a sardine tin with a very wide wingspan when the doors were open. What was your first car, Leanne?
A city shuttle.
Yeah.
City Golf.
Yeah, I remember.
Those old cars, and you probably remember the Toyota Taz. Most youngsters had Toyota Taz. Yeah,
that's right.
Came bare bones, no aircon, nothing.
Also, Opel Kadets were a thing in my era.
But that was also because you were from the South.
Yeah. Opel Kadett T.
Oh, it would be the convertibles. Those are cool.
Okay. All right, everybody. I'm afraid we're out of time. It's definitely been a fun morning. I hope you have an awesome weekend. We will catch up with you on Monday morning, bright and early at 6 o'clock. Have a great Friday. Thank you, George. Thank you, Sia. Thank you, Leanne. Most especially, thank you to you. We'll see you on Monday. CliffCentral.com